The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. Did I say Game Plus? I think I said Game Plus. It's photo shoot day, Kelly. You excited?
Yeah, we just had Adam Burke stop by.
Adam Burke, looking all gussied up. Got hockey sticks.
Yeah, I'm a little jealous of the props.
Props.
I got to get all my props together.
This is going to be one of these kinds of photo shoots. As long as we get to do the anchor man turn to the camera thing, I'm fine.
Oh, of course, man. Like we turn at different times, that one?
No, as they go, they're talking about us, and then we turn to the camera kind of thing.
I want to do one of those awkward. I wish we could shoot in the casino so we could just like go play at a craps table and then just interrupt the craps game with whatever we're recording.
Remember, cheesy is our North Star on this.
That's right.
Cheesiness. It's all we're looking for. Chrissy Anders will join us later, my mishpucha, as he does each and every Tuesday. Because he got a lot of flack last week, or was it the week before when he said he's not doing any NFL draft props? Well, look around this entire town. He ain't alone. He's not even close to being alone. Circa ain't got none. Westgate ain't got none. Caesars has a handful, and by handful, I mean literally. Resorts World has two or three total props.
Oh, wow. You even made it over there?
Oh, dude. I look everywhere. No, not Resorts World. Boyd, sorry. I didn't make it over to Resorts World. Boyd. I'm just looking at the apps, by the way. Boyd had two or three. Resorts World I didn't look at. And the winner in the clubhouse is still Stations.
Mm-hmm.
Stations, baby. Good for you guys. And, of course, we will talk to Nick Whalen, by the way, is going to join us. Kelly, I don't know if you're aware of that. Nick Whalen talking
about
being with
in.
Us momentarily, a little pop in. Andy McNeil joins us now, though. He went 1-1 on his picks yesterday and is off to a good start on the Bruins, who got it done last night. But what a first night of the Stanley Cup postseason. Again, the Bruins win yet again.
And one step closer.
One step closer. Carolina gets it done, 3-1 win. Over the Isles yesterday, and then out west, it was just unbelievable. The Kings with a miraculous comeback, and then really even to the late, the Kings with a miraculous comeback over the Oilers. But that Wild Stars game was incredible into double overtime yesterday. Amazing win for the Wild, and they really needed to win that, given the sort of fabric of that series. Andy McNeil joins us right now from his lair in Edmonton, Alberta. How you doing, Andy?
I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, what an unreal night of hockey. Had a little bit of everything, and just a great start for the NHL playoffs. But lots to get to today.
All right, four more games, four more game ones, beginning with the Rangers and the Devil, Igor Shesterkin and the Rangers. A lot of people, just anecdotally, think have a sort of puncher's chance here in the playoffs against the Devils. Devils are -125 favorites here in game number one. Total at 6. Your thoughts on the game and the series, sir?
Yeah, I think this one is one that a lot of people would be kind of surprised that the Devils are a favorite given all the moves that New York made at the trade deadline. I think the Rangers are the better team in some ways, but the Devils, I think, have the better 5-on-5 metrics, and they'll probably push the pace of play in this series. Neither team takes a whole lot of penalties, so we might see a lot of this series played at 5-on-5, but who knows? Maybe the bad blood will spill over the Battle of the Hudson, right? So haven't seen this one in a while, and it's probably going to be an intense series for sure. I've got a bet on the Devils to win the series, a smaller bet, half unit on the Devils at -120, and I'm hoping they get off to a good start here, and hopefully can get to Igor Shesterkin early, because he's really the only thing that's kind of keeping this as close as it is, in my opinion, for the Rangers.
Yeah, the most closely lined of all the first round series. Devils -120. Shop around, Andy, with a half unit play on the Devils for the series.
Game
half loo. Game two tonight. Game one of maybe the most anticipated series, at least on paper, of the first round, because it involves the Maple Leafs and, of course, the Lightning, who are a year removed from a couple championships. The Maple Leafs trying to win their first cup, famously, since 67, their first playoff series since early this century. It's almost 20 years from that. Leafs are -155 favorites here in game number one. They are series favorites as well. You gave us a thought on this the other day, but for those who missed it, could you reiterate, please?
Yeah, I mean, just think what the world was like the last time that the Leafs won a playoff series. So much has changed. Yeah, I mean, I would hope that this is Toronto's year. I think you look at the Lightning and the Maple Leafs, and you look at their top guys. Of course, the Lightning got it done last year in the playoffs against the Maple Leafs without Braden Point, and they've got him this time around, and he had a great season. So, I mean, you look at the top guns of each team, and I think they're pretty comparable. But Toronto is just so much deeper, specifically on the back end. You look at the Lightning's blue line; it's definitely not as formidable as in years past. But of course, they've got Andrei Vasilevskiy, and that's the big factor here, whether or not he can, you know, steal this series for the Maple Leafs. Ilya Samsonov, though, has been great this season, particularly great at Scotiabank Arena in Toronto. So, you know, big game here. They need to get out to a good start against this Lightning team, who you really don't want to give, you know, any slack to here, because they are still a championship caliber team. If anything, the core, I think, is, you know, championship caliber still, but the depth is an issue for the Lightning. And I think the Maple Leafs will win around 59, 60% of the time, but that doesn't result in a bet for me, because that's basically what the betting market is saying right now.
No bets. No bets on this one between the
No
Maple Leafs,
bets.
between the Maple Leafs and the Lightning. All right, game three in chronological order tonight. We also had a little discussion about this before, but I don't know, again, anecdotally, about as vast a difference in opinion on the Golden Knights as there is about anybody. Division winners, but yet a lot of people aren't buying them. I won't put words in your mouth, but you are certainly betting against them here.
Yeah, I mean, I think Vegas is the better team overall. And of course, they're getting Mark Stone back here, so that's a big plus for them. But I think Winnipeg wins this one 45% of the time. So I was comfortable betting on the Jets to win the series at plus 140 or better. And, you know, the big thing here is the goaltending edge. Whether or not that shows itself in the course of a seven game series is, you know, unknown. But Connor Hellebuyck, Laurent Brossoit, there's a big difference here. Hellebuyck is arguably the best goaltender in the league. The Winnipeg, you look at their underlying metrics. Vegas has scored more goals. They've been the better offensive team. Winnipeg's been, you know, frustratingly bad on offense at times, but their underlying metrics suggest that they've had some poor puck luck, and they've got some really skilled shooters: Pierre-Luc Dubois, Nikolaj Ehlers, Mark Scheifele, Blake Wheeler, on and on. There's a pretty deep forward group here that can get it done, and I think this is a lot closer than the odds suggest, a lot closer than a lot of the experts suggest. I don't think Winnipeg should be as big of an underdog.
Okay, so the Jets in the series and this game taking the Jets as well, or no?
No, I'm on them to win the series. I'm gonna kind of see how it plays out here, and you know, maybe get involved in game or something like that.
Okay.
You know, some good opportunities last night. The LA Kings were around 20-1 when they were down late in that game. So definitely some opportunities to get involved here. But no, I'm not gonna be backing them at plus 125. I think that's roughly fair. I think things are kind of evening out here. We saw the Jets get up as high as plus 138 at some sports books, maybe even plus 140 in the game one line, and it's kind of drifted back down, obviously.
All right, and then the final game tonight, it is the Avalanche, the heavily favored Avalanche, but the Kraken. Kelly, you want to scream Kraken? No.
Kraken!
There you go. Kraken is the old tribute to Matt Brown back in Primetime Action. Kraken in their second season make the postseason for the first time. I know it's not the most difficult thing to make the postseason in the Stanley Cup or in the NHL, but, you know, hey, they got there. Kraken are plus 170 dogs tonight, similarly priced dogs in the series as well. What do you like here?
Well, I mean, I think Colorado wins this one. I don't think I'm alone in that. Everybody seems to be, you know, in agreement that Seattle probably doesn't have the top end talent to take out the Avalanche, but they're a deep team, and you know, that's intriguing. I think they've got four really good forward lines. Like I said, nobody that really stands out as far as a superstar. Jarrett McCann was their leading goal scorer with 40 goals. Matty Beniers is a rookie, likely going to win the Calder Trophy this year. He had a great season. But yeah, they obviously can't match the star power of Colorado. Nathan MacKinnon, Mikko Rantanen, Cale Makar. Obviously, Colorado's star power has taken a bit of a hit here. We learned that Gabriel Landeskog, who everybody thought was going to be back in time for the playoffs, he sat out the entire season. Was one of, you know, obviously Colorado's captain, but he was one of their best goal scorers in the playoff run last year too. So he'll be sorely missed. And, you know, this team, obviously they lost Nazem Kadri in the offseason, so not as deep as they were. I think you'd see a much, you know, bigger price on the Avalanche if they were the same team as last year. You know, a sizable favorite nonetheless, and deservedly so. But this is another one that, you know, I don't have any real betting interest in pre-flop, so I'm going to, you know, hopefully find something in-game and maybe play it that way.
All right, let me ask you this because we have a minute left. Mark Messier was talking about this last night on the broadcast, which is to say, you know, in the NBA, I'll say what I want to say, was the NBA, you have a lot of series which are kind of like with the Sixers and the Celtics and the Bucks, if they were fully healthy, those series are just kind of an exhibition. In the NHL, what Messier was saying is 1 through 16 now is about as close as it gets ever that he can remember. So there's a lot of us who are sort of amateurish hockey bettors who are like, you just bet the dogs on this. I know that's not how your brain works. But do you agree with that sentiment that 1 through 16 is about as close as you remember?
Yeah, I mean, I think like more than anything, it's just that how the sport is constructed, right? It just doesn't do a good job of rewarding skill on a regular basis. So, I mean, there's always going to be that variance and whatnot. But yeah, I think that's pretty bang on, 1 through 16. I mean, it varies year to year, obviously. But I mean, look, we're looking at the Boston Bruins versus the Florida Panthers, who won the President's Trophy last year. So definitely a lot of parity in the league right now.
For sure. And it is fun to watch. Maybe as great a postseason as there is across North American sports, that's for sure. Andy, appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
Go Bruins.
Go Bruins. He heads up with Andy McNeil, a digital gambler on the old Twitter machine. Nick Whalen joins us, some NBA thoughts. How do you bet tonight's trio of games? That's next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show host and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up now for only $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. A trio of game twos in the association tonight. Kelly, your thought. I want to get your thoughts here before we get to Nick on these. And the one that I am most interested, first of all, let me just sort of say the Celtics, again, big favorites, double-digit favorites against the Hawks here tonight, game two. Celtics trying to take a 2-0 lead. And even though they rolled the Hawks, they crushed them in the first half. They were up 30 at the half, and they sort of lollygagged their way through the second half of that game. Do you want those points with the Hawks tonight, despite the...
No, I'm keeping my eye on it.
I
will be firing pregame, but that's... I've said this before. I've said it a lot on Hardwood Handicappers, but I think there is a bigger difference, or there should be a bigger difference in the odds between that Nets and Sixers series than this Hawks-Celtics series.
This should be narrower.
This should be narrower. Yeah. I do think there's a little bit of value on the Atlanta side, but... You know, Gil, I know it makes it tough because we're always in the morning. We want to talk about these games ahead of time. It's just, for me, it's a live bet circle. I've got Atlanta circled. They fall behind. I mean, I bet them, and I covered in game one despite what they lost with, because I had plus 16.5 live with Atlanta. You know, is that exact same script going to play out again? I doubt it.
By the way, it really is. Like, we don't bring that up enough. Like, we end up having so many bets that we don't end up talking about on the show just because we're betting live. So
yeah. I at least try to point that stuff out there. Like, there's probably a good chance I'm in on Atlanta tonight, but it will be live.
Knicks Cavaliers game two. The Knicks stole game one. And by steal, I mean it felt like they should have been leading that game by 20 points.
Yeah.
And then somehow the Cavaliers, with an outburst at the end, took a 1-point lead before... Yeah, that big three from Josh Hart with just under 2 minutes left, and then the Knicks never relinquished the lead, and they win game one. So they have the home court advantage now. This would be the knockout blow, the proverbial knockout blow, if they were to figure out a way to win this game. Cavs, though, end up as 6-point favorites again with a total at 215. Are you surprised that it's still six?
A little bit, and I'm staying away from this one. So this is I made the series bets in this one: Cavs to win in six, Cavs to win in seven. Didn't think we were going to get that kind of performance from Julius Randle, and him looking as good as he did, just like Andrew Wiggins on the Warriors side of things, who's been huge so far. Gil, this might be the one series I end up getting wrong. There was a lot of sharp guys I know that were on the Knicks side that played out game one. I'm going to stay away from this game and see how this plays out. Wouldn't be surprised to see a bounce back here, though, from the Cavs.
Jalen Brunson, best player on the court in that game in game one, with apologies to Spider Mitchell, who had 38. And this is the one I really want to talk about. It's the third of the three tonight. So the Clippers go out and they beat the Suns in game one. And we're seeing the Suns price, the Suns line here keeps getting higher.
Yeah, totally going to.
The Suns are 8.5-point favorites. You don't want to pre-flop the Clippers here?
So it's same sort of thing as Atlanta, right? I would wait till live.
Whether you do it live or pre-flop, the rationale of this continuing to rise is what?
Oh, it's just that, well, there's no way the Suns could lose both games at home.
Yeah, but 8.5 is the point.
I hear you, man.
Yeah.
This is what JVT and I talk about this on Hardwood Handicappers all the time. Download wherever podcast can be found. Just these point spreads. I think there's so much more betting in the market now. These spreads that we used to see rise like a half point or a point are now going like 2 points. Because so many people are betting these sides.
I told you about the halftime line of that one play-in game where you're like, that halftime line moved 2.5 points.
Right, exactly.
That Heat game, the first Heat game, the one they lost, the 7-8 game. It was like the Heat got 2.5 points worth of action on a halftime line, which is unheard of. So, well, let's bring in Nick Whalen from RotoWire.
Yeah, we got Nick here.
Let's start with this one. But let's go in reverse order on these games tonight. Obviously, the remaining game twos, the final three games, because we had two last night, we'll have three tonight. The remaining three will be tomorrow night. But let's go in reverse order tonight. Let's start with the one we were just talking about, Nick. And great to talk to you, Nick, who is the RotoWire senior NBA and NFL analyst, SiriusXM host as well. Nick, great to talk to you. 8.5. What are we doing here?
Guys, I'm with you. I'm surprised that this number opened as high as it did, and the fact that it continues to creep in favor of the Suns. Now, you know, this is the team that entered the playoffs favored to come out of the West and go to the NBA Finals. So I do think there is at least some belief that, okay, we're not going to jump off this team after one game. And, you know, keep in mind, like, the Clippers battled back so many times in that second half. I mean, there was a point, I think, midway through the third quarter where the Clippers went up 6 or 7. The Suns stormed back, took a 7 or 8 point lead. This team has Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. They're not surrendering this lead. And, you know, here we are. Kawhi Leonard shot them back into the game. Russell Westbrook had some huge plays down the stretch. I think the Clippers could keep this series close. I really do. I think we collectively might have erred in saying that the Suns would just run away with it. I don't think the Suns lose the series. I don't think they lose game two. But I also don't see them coming out and, you know, winning game two by 18 points.
I mean, if you're doing the whole rational meter, right? Like, you're wondering, okay, the Warriors are down 2-0, but I get why they're favored as they are in Game Three. They're going back to their home; they play much better there. Okay, and the Warriors could have taken one of the first two, if not both. This is the one where I wonder if we look back on it and we're like, oh, all of us should have just been focused on the fact that the Phoenix Suns have no bench whatsoever. They traded everybody away to get the brilliant Kevin Durant. And these lines were insane. I just wonder if that's what we look back on.
I think it's very possible. I think the other narrative that could emerge there, and this is one that we've seen in years past, is, okay, I think we forget just how good Kawhi Leonard is when he is engaged and when he's able to play 45 minutes in a playoff game. You know, I think he's been on cruise control in the regular season, not just the last couple of years, but really dating all the way back, I would say, to the end of his San Antonio days. And year after year after year, we see this guy kind of reestablish himself as unquestionably, in my mind, one of the 5 or 6 best players in the NBA. And I think that gets washed away when he's sitting out, you know, 1 out of 5 games throughout the regular season. I mean, he outplayed Kevin Durant in game one. And the other thing, guys, and I think it was Raheem Palmer from The Ringer has done a good job. He's talked about this all season on Twitter, especially after trading Cam Johnson and Mikal Bridges for Kevin Durant. The Phoenix Suns do not attempt a lot of threes. They took 19 three-pointers in game one compared to 31 for the Clippers. So even if you're not shooting it all that well, you know, L.A. shot 32% from three. they still had four more three-pointers than the Phoenix Suns. I mean, over the course of a 48-minute NBA game,
yeah,
that's going to add up.
Volume matters. What about the game right before this, the Cavs and the Knicks, after what we saw in Game 1 with the Knicks? As I characterize it, I'm not sure if you agree with it, it really did feel like the Knicks should have blown them out, and in the end it was nip and tuck at the end. Cavs are still favored by 6. Do you like either side here? Do you like the Knicks on adjusted series price? What do you like here?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, the series price kind of flip-flopped after Game 1, and I would expect it to do the same if the Cavs win tonight. I mean, we're seeing the Knicks as minus 160 now to win that series, yet they're six-point dogs in Game 2. So a little bit of a disconnect there. I think we get another close game. I think these teams are really, really close. They were close throughout the regular season. It felt like we knew this matchup was coming for like 2 months because they were just locked into those spots. They were really consistent down the stretch. And I know you mentioned before I hopped on Julius Randle. I bet the Cavs. I tied the Cavs into a bunch of parlays over the weekend, thinking that Julius Randle, who, you know, until what, 20 minutes before the game, we didn't even know if he was going to play.
Yeah.
I didn't think he would anything like himself. And look, I mean, he was 7 of 20, 3 of 10 from 3. He didn't light it up, but he still had 19 and 10 and looked like, you know, a reasonable version of the Julius Randle who's been one of their best players all year. So you would expect that he's even more comfortable in Game 2. I think the Cavs have a serious bench problem, much in the way that the Suns do, right? I mean, if you're really depending on two guys in that starting lineup, your two guards, to provide most of the scoring. Mobley and Allen are basically role players on offense. Okoro is probably a negative on that end. And look, if Caris LeVert is going 1 of 7 in 18 minutes off the bench, you're getting almost nothing from that bench unit. So I like New York, not necessarily to win this game, but I would take the Knicks with the points right now.
All right, Nick, we got 45 seconds for this. The first game tonight, the Celtics and the Hawks. What was more reality? The Celtics, you know, winning the first half by 30, the Celtics appearing disinterested in the second half and the Hawks coming back, or neither? That was just sort of an anomalous game, and you think the Hawks are feisty. What do you do with Game 2? What do you do with this series?
Frankly, I think Game 2 plays out probably similarly to Game 1. I don't know if Boston is up by 30 at the half, but I would take the Boston with the points. I really would. I know this Celtics team, or this Hawks team, excuse me, is probably a little bit more talented than your typical 7 or 8 seed, you know, when you're talking a team with Trae Young and DeJounte Murray and Clint Capella. But, you know, Boston gave like a C-minus effort in the second half and still won that game by 13. So I think this is a really, really bad matchup on paper. It's a really bad matchup when you game it out, as we saw in Game 1. So I think Boston walks through this series.
Wow. Laying the points with the Celtics tonight.
Oh, yeah.
All right. And the one you like the best of all three of those then would be?
I think I like Knicks plus 6, guys.
Knicks plus 6. Okay. Knicks plus 6. Thank you, Nick. Thanks for hopping on. Appreciate it. Nick Whalen,
hey,
everybody. At RotoWire. At Whalen. Just substitute the number 1 for the L. Chrissy Andrews, my mishpucha on the other side from the South Point. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data.
Split bet.
Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? Well, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes. So you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at vsin.com. Skill Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin, getting a bunch of tweets on this DeMar Hamlin tweet from ESPN. He has been fully cleared to resume football activities. That from Bills GM Brandon Bean.
Wait a second, is that him or his clone?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Remember the clone thing? Is that, we didn't see his face. Is that him? Remember that?
It was clones grow 23 years overnight, too, by the way.
By the way, that's the voice of Chrissy Andrews, everybody, who runs the South Point Hotel Casino.
Had to chime in there. So.
Yeah. No, that was weird, wasn't it?
I guess. Yeah.
It kind of was, because it was like almost on purpose. Oh, there he is waving through the snowflakes. Oh, there he is. Anyway, DeMar Hamlin cleared for football, and we've said it on this show many times. Comeback Player of the Year award next year. I don't know. I mean, it was minus 165, and my comment was, if he even steps on a field, he should be the Comeback Player of the Year. And then you held me to it, Kelly, just where I was consistent, because I used to say about Alex Smith.
I think it didn't open plus money?
I don't remember that.
I think it was like plus 150.
It's still like minus 235. First, Chris Andrews, everybody. Would you ever put up a NFL award prop? Would you ever do any of that?
Never is a big word. Right now, the answer is no.
Okay. Let me hypothetically, what would you put up DeMar Hamlin's comeback player of the year?
I mean, I don't can't even think of who'd be in second place, you know.
I mean,
of course, the season hasn't started, so we haven't seen anything yet, you know, so somebody may come out of nowhere.
With Alex Smith, after the 17 surgeries, I said, if he steps on a field, he's the comeback player of the year. And then I amended it to, if he throws a forward pass, right? So, and then you held me to, if DeMar Hamlin makes one tackle.
Yes.
He's the comeback player of the year.
Because that was the only thing we needed to keep in mind. Even when he was fully healthy, he was a rotational guy, right? He played, but he wasn't a full-time starter.
Kelly's holding him to a tackle. It's not enough to show up.
Current odds at DraftKings, Hamlin minus 280.
It seems low.
Tua 14-1, Breece Hall 14-1, Russell Wilson, Trey Lance, Lamar Jackson, Stafford, Garoppolo, Cooper Kupp, Calvin Ridley, all 16-1.
Calvin Ridley coming back from the parlay.
You know, Russell Wilson, I think, would have to be in there, you know, if he has a big year.
Yeah,
you know.
but again, the difference between Hamlin and these other guys, this just in, breaking news, they didn't almost die on the field. Sorry, get a little emotional. I'm just saying, that's like, it's such an outlier.
Yeah. Yeah, and I remember, well, a little off the subject, but I remember Teddy Bruschi coming back from a, what do you have? Not a heart attack, but he had a stroke.
Yeah.
He came back, I think, won a Super Bowl or two after that. You know, so, I mean, I hope this kid comes back. I mean, he's a Pittsburgh kid. You know, I really didn't know that much about him, to be honest with you, before all this happened. But, you know, a guy that I'm rooting for now. And my one good friend that I went to high school, his nephew went to school with him and said he's just a terrific guy.
Yeah.
So I'm rooting for him now.
It's just that, you know, we become so normalized to everything that goes on sports and beyond. I like, something like that should not be normalized. Like, it was an NFL primetime game, let alone any NFL game, got stopped in the middle, not to be resumed because of what happened on the field. And we literally were sending texts back and forth to each other. Is someone going to die on a football field right in front of a national audience?
Yeah.
In the most freakish of ways, right? The Bengals-Bills game that night where he got impact to his chest in just the right spot, at just the right timing of his whatever the medical basis for it all was, but it just, we were thrilled that he survived and now actually cleared to play football. And I guess he wants to play football. That could have been that too, right?
Yeah.
Where he's like, yeah, I don't really feel like playing this anymore.
Well, yeah, I'm sure right now he's got a lot of publicity. You know, he could get into many different lines of work. I'm not sure any of them pay as well as playing football. And I'm sure it's something he loved.
Yeah.
You know, from the time he was probably in Pop Warner.
Let me ask you this question. I was going to save this for crack tomorrow, but I'll ask you as well. Because we brought you up earlier about the NFL draft and how you have company. There's most books in town have not put up any NFL draft props yet. What about this trend of refunds that we're seeing being given? And the second part of that, because there's a lot of more national books, including DraftKings, a lot of more national books that, you know, Shohei, suspended game, didn't come back after the rain delay, going to refund all Shohei props. What was it the night before, Kelly? There was another one. By the way, it's multiple books, not just DraftKings, but more the ones with the national footprints.
I don't know. It happens like every night.
So there was one the night before. I can't remember.
Sure, both the NHL Everybody overtime will... games got refunded.
No. Everybody will remind me. But it was, you know, it's the precedent of refunding as a sort of marketing tool kind of thing. Everybody knows that's what it is. But the second part of it is what kills me is when then people get on Twitter, and if a second book doesn't do it, literally somebody on Twitter yesterday was like, there should be a class action suit against that book for not refunding. It's like, well, come on. How about you just take the loss then, if you don't, you know?
Well, every situation's different, you know, and I know one year.
Have you ever?
I'll tell you one that you know, struck my mind. You know, we have the rule, like everybody else has, that football games have to go 55 minutes at least.
Yeah.
Clemson, I know, was involved, and I can't remember who they were beating. I think they were minus, I want to say, 55, obviously against a cupcake. They were up by 58. The game stopped with 5 minutes and 35 seconds of play.
Brutal.
All right, you got to pay these guys. You know, I mean, you know, you just pay them. And anybody that had the other side, and I think literally there was one ticket on the other side, give him his money back. and just paid the other guys.
In fairness, you didn't have to pay it.
I didn't have to pay it. I could have stuck by the rules. And you know, I mean, this is the world we live in, especially with social media. Whatever you do, people will find fault in it. Bro, whatever you do.
We've had multiple tennis matches this year.
Yeah.
Where we had dogs, underdogs, big underdogs, get right to the end. And then the person that they're playing took their toys and went home.
Yeah.
And at certain books, that's a refund. That's not a graded bet. And they made one exception for one of these tennis. I wasn't involved because it wasn't at a book that I bet. It was at DraftKings. They made one exception on it. And I'm just curious. It's like it's certainly an interesting. Obviously, people in the moment who get their money back are thrilled if it was going to be a loss.
Of course.
But I'm just curious for your perspective behind the desk, how you feel about that. Like that, you wouldn't want to set that precedent, I would imagine.
Wouldn't want to set that precedent. I think we have rules in place to follow, and it's, you know, sometimes, you know, seems unfair, but it is, you know, rules are rules, and you know, obviously, I just gave in at one time where I broke that rule, and I've done that over the years. But actually, Joe Brennan, very good follow on Twitter. Do you know Joe?
I don't know him.
I've met Joe over the years. Sharp guy, more of like an administrator, regulator. But he had a tweet either last night or this morning talking about how like all these online places paid so much for customer acquisition. You know, like I said, I talked about Jim Chanos. I think I talked about him on your show. He shorted, did a lot of shorts, and the shorts do their homework, buddy, mm-hmm. Let me tell you.
Yep.
And, you know, he shorted DraftKings, I want to say, when they were at $70 a share. They went down about $10, about 10 and some change. I think he finally cashed out. But they made all this money, or they made all these promises, you know, with customer acquisitions. Now they're converting to maximizing, you know, getting parlays. You know, and one of these guys, and I forget what outfit it was, wasn't DraftKings. He tweeted out, you know, the current model of sports booking is unsustainable. And I tweeted him right back, what have I been doing for the last six decades? Seems pretty sustainable to me. And what do? You know, we have fair prices. You know, we don't pay much for customer acquisitions. Like I said, we have a couple things that Michael Gaughan puts out there as far as, you know, jackpot parlay cards where we don't make as much money as we take in. We have other things here, like I said, the buffets and $1.50 hot dogs to bring people in. So that's our customer acquisition cost there, but not the customer acquisition cost that some of these outfits paid. And now they're trying to reverse it and maximizing, you know, getting everybody to bet the highest margin things that they have. Well, you know, I mean, sure, I'd like them doing that, too, as much as they can. But, you know, I still have a dime line on every baseball game. You know, the tightest straddles in town. We have, yeah, I think I just told you before the break, we have 75 different options to bet the baseball on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. Every one of them with either the tightest straddle or tied for the tightest straddle in town. To me, that's a pretty sustainable business model. Not just giving money back whenever you feel like it willy-nilly.
Brief aside, what do you think is a more sustainable business model? The, you know, the one that you just described about pushing the same game parlays, or the opposite of that, which doesn't offer a wide menu and, you know, caters to quote unquote sharp action and sort of is braggadocious about that. What do you think is actually the more sustainable business model?
Well, you're giving me A or B. You know, it can be C.
You're C. I'm leaving you out.
Yeah, I think I'm a C. I'm trying to expand our prop menu. You know, we have a little bit. I want to expand it even more. We're working on it. We're trying to just, you know, we can't just throw anything out there. But, you know, I think the model that we have, given a fair bet to everybody, it's worked for a long, long time, and I see it continuing to work in the future.
Chrissy passes on the AB choice and decides to go.
The world has a lot of gray area.
Come back. More with Chrissy Anders on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashing the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas? You can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligible eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days of issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. We get tweets at Beatty the Book. Kelly, this is overrun with people who apparently took our advice way back when, but have great DeMar Hamlin bets. Chance Copperpot showing us his screenshot at plus 250. Bronson's, I'm sorry, go ahead.
That was the opening number that we discussed, yes. And that you were like adamant. You were like, you're freaking crazy, man. Like, no, that's a great bet. You got to make that.
Bronson C. had a plus 175 that he's showing us. This is from John B. getting at plus 150. This is Chris Hartman says Hamlin just went to minus 650.
It did. DraftKings just moved to minus 650.
Did I do that? JD Emmons, can't thank you enough for the draft info the last year. I can't get enough of it. It literally changes nonstop, and there's so many ways to get your money in good. Also, he says, can we talk about the show only being 2 hours? Seems like you're loafing. We need 3 to 4 hours.
I'd go for that.
Would you? I used to do 5 at this network on a daily basis. That was Meshuggah. Xavier 82, does any other sports book currently have up comeback player of the year award in the NFL? Thanks, love the show. Props to Kelly. Does anybody in town have that up?
No, oh, I don't think so.
Of course not. Chrissy, what are you going to do about our malaise here? We got nothing to bet on. It's very upsetting in the terms of the NFL draft or comeback player of the year.
I got 75 baseball options.
I know you do. I know you do. Speaking of which, we are at the time of year where we have so much going on. NBA playoffs, Stanley Cup playoffs, baseball obviously on a daily basis, not to mention the draft. But between the NBA playoffs and the Stanley Cup playoffs, what gets most of your handle?
NBA playoffs. Yeah.
Still.
Yeah.
But the NHL is much closer
NHL
than we think.
NHL is really good. Yeah, I looked at, you know, and by the way, I mean, I watched the Kings-Warriors game last night, you know. But the hockey was fantastic.
Man. So good.
Yeah. I mean, Connor McDavid, who I think I've called him Larry McDavid on your show. But Connor McDavid, you know, they're saying he's the best player since Mario. You know, the other guy that you would say would be Sidney Crosby. I'm not ready to quite go that far yet, but, I mean, he is damn good. And I had the chance to see him a couple weeks ago when they were here in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. And he is just a dynamite player.
The one where he wove through 5 defenders.
Yeah, that's all, just 5 guys. If they had 6, he probably would have wove through that 6 guy, too.
I'm exaggerating, but yes.
I think it was pretty close to that. But he's a fantastic player, yeah.
The Knights, though, being the home team.
Yeah.
When they first started, it was like, oh, my God, we have so much hockey handle because it's the Knights and everybody wants to bet the Knights every day. Are you seeing that this year?
Well, first of all, I'm looking at the Knights game. They play tonight, I think, right?
Yes, they do.
Tons of business on that game. But both ways, you know, we got, you know, most of the public bet. I mean, it's not just a square bet. I mean, the Knights are pretty legit. They're a good team.
They won their division.
But, you know, some good prices going the other way. So I got tremendous action on the game already, and we're like, what, hours away from it. You know, so the hockey handle last night was terrific. Wound up being really good with both those 2 late overtime wins by the Dogs, you know. But we, the handle's been very good in the NHL, and I still say it's the best of all the professional tournaments on a nightly basis. Just watch a game. Every player out there finishes every check. You know, they dive for pucks. I mean, you know, the Stanley Cups are just different than anything else.
Well, we were saying earlier that 1 through 16, Mark Messier was saying this last night, 1 through 16, it's about as close as it's ever been. And this with a 65-win team
with the Bruins,
involved.
They won last night. I wouldn't say handily, but they won.
So, but this is the thing about the Stanley Cup playoffs. It is a crapshoot, right? So even if you win 65 games...
Yeah.
They even admitted, some of the Bruins after the game, they had a bug that went through their team too, but they even admitted how nervous they were. It's like, okay, you won 65 games. That's great. Now impress me and try to win another 16.
Yeah, go back. The President's Trophy is the team with the best record. Go back and look how many President's Trophy winners have won. Yeah, not that many.
Caps. Leap to mind.
Yeah.
So in the end, because of the Knights, if the Knights continued on, let's say the Knights beat the Winnipeg Jets in the best of 7 series, let's just play with this, and if it goes on, let's say the longer, is this statement true? The longer the Knights advance, the more that answer to that question will flip, that even though the NBA will have more handle, that there's a possibility that if the Knights continue, that it will eclipse the NBA for you?
I would say no, because you're looking at, first of all, I think the Lakers, unfortunately, are going to have a pretty good run.
That's right.
And then on the other side, you know, you have the Celtics, which draw a lot of love and hate, and the Bucks, which are a terrific team, and even Philly, you know, with Embiid. You know, I mean, they're very public teams. I don't think it'll switch. I would be surprised if it does.
So rank the South Point NBA public teams: Lakers, Celtics, Warriors.
Well, Warriors, you know, I'd say were even probably above the Lakers until recently. So, I mean, you know, they're down 0-2, and the Lakers had a great finish to the season. So right now I'd put the Lakers above the Warriors, but I have to say the Warriors definitely number two. You know, Clippers are down there a little bit. You know, the Celtics probably in third place. And then, you know, after that, you know, we have a lot of Philly people around here, too. Not quite as many from Milwaukee, you know, but Milwaukee with, you know, Antetokounmpo is still a very public team and, you know, fairly recent champion, you know.
Do you get beat on anybody if they win the championship, both NBA or NHL?
Lakers.
Lakers crush you.
Bad.
How bad? You can be very specific. To the penny, if you
to
would.
The penny.
Yes.
Let's say well into six figures.
Well into six
well
figures.
Well into six figures.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hold on. Follow up. More than half a mil?
I'm not going to go more than that. It's not more than half a mil, but it's way up there.
Kelly, do you have any follow-up questions?
I do not want to see my
four.
I always say, I'm not going any further. I never hate coming to work in the morning. I go home aggravated plenty of days, Brent. Yeah. But if the Lakers win, I'm going to hate coming to work that next day because I'm going to have to talk to Michael Gaughan. That won't be fun.
Nothing like that in hockey.
No, nothing
where,
like that.
Where does that rank at the South Point in terms of like historical liability? What's the team you got beat the most on?
I've had some bad ones, yeah. Yeah, I've had, you know, probably close to a million, you know.
On who? Football, probably.
the year the Rams beat the Titans.
Oh, that's, way back when.
That's way back when. I was at Calneva at the time.
A yard away from the tie.
Yeah. That was, and, you know, I'm going to write about it in the new book I'm working on. I was part owner of the company. So my dividend was on the line. My bonus was structured for, I mean, my salary was relatively small. Most of my money came through bonuses. That ate up a big part of my bonus, I got to tell you, buddy. And the dividend and everything else, that was a really bad. That's probably the worst one I've ever had.
Robert Jones stopping Kevin Dyson a yard away from tying that game.
I know.
So that was a long time ago, though. That's 23. That's 23 years ago.
Was that 2000, 2001,
2000, I believe. Okay. Yeah. Or was that two? Or was it January?
I think it's 2000.
January of 2001, probably.
Something like that.
So that's football, but in recent years, that Lakers stack up pretty hugely. It sounds like that.
Yeah, that stacks up pretty huge. I had 1 year.
What was the longest you had them? Like at what number?
I don't know, probably like 100.
Is it greater than 450?
I'm not kidding. It's less than half.
I'm joking. It's a joke, Chris.
Can we watch
1 year when the Giants won the pennant? I think the year they lost to the Angels.
Oh, 2002. San Francisco Giants.
Again, I was in Reno.
Yeah.
You know, the Giants are the Reno team.
Right.
You know?
Oh, they sure are.
Ooh, that was a bad one. That was bad.
That they won the NL. Was
that they
bad.
Won the National League. If they had won the World Series, it would have been even worse. But the winning the National League was bad enough.
That one of the home run balls that have still yet to come down. That Barry Bonds home run in that series.
Yeah.
Can Gil, JVT, and I watch the Clippers Lakers Western Conference Finals with you?
Great question. Can we watch you sweat that?
Yeah, I just want to watch you sweat it, Chris.
I've been back there with it. It was the famously the Patriots Falcons, the nine.
Sat on
finishing
that nine
on the nine.
Well, it seemed like 3 or 4 hours.
And believe me, that was less than the whatever figure he's talking about now.
Oh, that was in the six figures, but you know.
Because Rufus had you in for
Rufus
six.
Rufus had me in.
Yeah. All right.
But I think the next year, Zach White got me for 100. But that was okay because we won a ton of money that day. And Michael Gaughan was happy as could be because the story was all over the media.
So you will object to this, but I will say, so people who are mad at you for not putting up NFL draft props will now be rooting for the Lakers heavily. Will you accept that characterization?
Listen, in my position, I know you're never the good guy. Yeah. You're always the bad guy. Yeah, you know, that's just the way it is.
Thank you, Chrissy. I'll expect an exact dollar figure after the break here. Thank you so much. Chris Andrews, we're kicking it with Chrissy. We didn't even do the intro. I'm so sorry. Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.